From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you, Ollie. It is October 1st, 2020, Thursday's Richie Allen Radio Show. How you doing? Are you well? It's just begun to rain. Sun showers here in Salford. It's the phone-in this afternoon, the global phone-in. I'll give you the Skype details and the telephone number to call right soon. And I look forward to speaking to you today. You are the star. Yeah, absolutely.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, and of course, you are not the star no more than I am. The information reigns on the BBG's radio show. Right, if you want to Skype me, don't do it immediately. I'm going to have a rundown of the news. But in about 20 minutes, I will open the Skype. It is Chat with Richie. All one word, Chat with Richie on Skype. Or you can phone in the UK. It's 0161 818 2018. That is 0161 818 2018, meaning outside the UK, +44 161 818 2018. Yes, and I will give you them again in a few moments. Are you gagging for a bit of a chat, are you? Are you gagging for it? Good. Good for you. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. It's about time we did another phone-in. So it is. Let's go through the news then on Nuacht. On Nuacht. Here we go. More new lockdown measures. Jesus. More if... I don't know. Yes, there, new measures have been introduced in the north of England. A ban on different households meeting anywhere, either indoors or outdoors, will be introduced. Or is it indoors? Nobody knows, you see. I think it's indoors. It's going to be illegal to meet indoors, and that includes, obviously, places like pubs in Liverpool, Warrington, Hartlepool and Middlesbrough from midnight on Saturday. Why? Well, because of a spike in cases. Health Secretary Matt Hancock told MPs today, these new rules, well, they're simply necessary. There was a modicum of hope. There was a little ray of sunshine when Middlesbrough Mayor Andy Preston said, why no, man? We defy the government and we do not accept these measures. He said that, except for the why no man bit. He said we defy the government and we do not accept these measures. But he climbed down about 20 minutes later and he said, okay, I'll obey the law. Oh, here is Matt Hancock, the health secretary. Following him, you will hear Jonathan Ashworth. He's the shadow health secretary.
Working with council leaders and the mayors, I'm today extending these measures that have been in place in the North East since the start of this week to the Liverpool City region, Warrington, Hartlepool and Middlesbrough. We will provide £7 million of funding to local authorities in these areas to support them with their vital work. The rules across the Liverpool City region, Warrington, Hartlepool and Middlesbrough will be as follows. We recommend against all social mixing between people in different households. We will bring in regulations, as we have in the North East, to prevent in law social mixing between people in different households in all settings except outdoor public spaces like parks and outdoor hospitality. We also recommend that people should not attend professional or amateur sporting events as spectators in the areas that are affected. We recommend that people only visit care homes in exceptional circumstances, and there will be guidance against all but essential travel.
I think so. Here's Jonathan Ashworth, now the Shadow Health Secretary.
I think it was probably too late for colleagues from Merseyside to get onto the call list this morning, but I think if they were here, they would be keen to press the Secretary of State further on the financial support for Merseyside. This is a region which is hugely reliant on hospitality and leisure, and we know that these restrictions extract a heavy social and economic toll. And so areas need financial support. Otherwise, existing inequalities, which themselves, of course, have a health impact and allow the virus to thrive, will be exacerbated.
Yeah. Rather than criticise the measures, Ashworth is asking for more money to be borrowed to be given to these businesses while they're not trading. Jesus. Horrendous economic news today. Dozens of companies announced layoffs. You probably saw that on the news, on the BBC, on Sky, wherever you happen to get your mainstream news. Dozens of companies, major companies, smaller companies, saying layoffs are imminent. And do not forget, dear listener, one third of companies in this country has already stated that they will be letting staff go after government assistance ends. We're fooked. We are fooked. What do Jeremy Corbyn, Catweasel, and Stanley Johnson, Bojo's father, have in common? Quiz question. What did Jezza and Stanley have in common? They're a pair of feckless rogues who won't obey the rules. That's what they have in common. Both men apologised today after being snared breaking the rules. Jeremy Corbyn had a dinner party of 8 or of 9, the bastard. And Stanley Johnson was shopping without a mask. Find them? James O'Brien, arsehole of LBC Radio, asked the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, what to do with the pair of scurrilous rule breakers. Have a listen.
Do you think that Boris Johnson's dad and Jeremy Corbyn should be fined for breaching lockdown rules?
They both apologised, which is the right thing to do, unlike somebody else we know who's broken the rules, but it's not good. And, you know, they both apologised, they realised they did wrong. And I'd say both to Johnson and Corbyn, they're both in the most at-risk groups.
They're in the most at-risk groups. They're older people.
They're most at risk, but they could catch the virus and pass it on. I'm relieved they both apologised.
I'm relieved they apologised too.
And what I'd rather those involved in enforcement do is focus on those who are repeat offenders. But if Stanley Johnson or Jeremy Corbyn break the rules again, you know, I think they should be fined.
It would be great messaging to do it now, wouldn't it? Everyone would know that everybody is subject to the same rules, which you obliquely refer to, a very egregious example of people being essentially told that the rules only apply to them and not to the people.
He's a little rat, James O'Brien, isn't he? He even looks like a rat. Have you seen him on LBC's Twitter page? Because radio is dead. They film these guys. Everything is video. Now, this is the last radio show left in the world, the one you're listening to now. There'll never be a webcam here. It's radio. I explained this previously. I might do it again in the future. He's a rat, O'Brien, isn't he?
Yeah, the difference, I'd say, look, firstly, listen, I'm in no way condoning what they did, but both Jeremy Corbyn and Stanley Johnson have apologised. It's very different
from
what happened.
No, they have. It's a good point.
And so when you think about punishment, there are a number of reasons you do it: to deter, to set an example, to change people's behaviour. They both accepted they were wrong. They're going to make sure they obey the rules and hope it sends a message that the rules are there for everyone to follow.
Well, it actually sends a message that if you say sorry, well, that's all right then. Now, everybody who has been fined, listen up. If you have found yourself falling foul of the rules and if you have been issued with a fine, do not pay it. Have your day in court, dear listener, and point to the letting off of Johnson and Corbyn. That's your get out of fine card, isn't it? Go to court, magistrate, whatever. Why didn't you pay your fine? Well, I said sorry. If it's good enough for the former leader of the opposition and Stanley Tally-ho Johnson, well, it should be good enough for me. Right. I wonder if Johnson and Corbyn, Jezza and Stanley, are fed up with life and they were actually attempting suicide by COVID. Maybe. You never know. Ah, well. Do you fancy some fuckery files? Bit of fuckery files, why not? This one is a beauty. What will we do about those migrants in their boats in the Channel who are hell-bent on reaching these shores? What will we do about them? I got this on Sky News today. I thought I was dreaming. But I wasn't.
A range of measures have reportedly been considered by the Home Office as it tries to tackle migrant crossings in the English Channel. Priti Patel's department has considered a wave machine in the Channel, sending asylum seekers to the Outer Hebrides or flying them to Papua New Guinea.
What kind of fuckery are you?
What was that again, Priti?
Priti Patel's department has considered a wave machine in the Channel.
A wave machine in the channel. A wave machine in the channel. Pretty Patel. Little Pretty. How did she explain that at Cabinet? A wave machine, Pretty. Well, I've been to Splash World. All you have to do is make it bigger. Just make it bigger in the channel. A wave machine. According to Nigel Farage, the Brexit Party leader, there's madder things being discussed than a wave machine. Honestly.
No, I mean, I even heard one about a floating wall in the middle of the channel.
What was that?
No, I mean, I even heard one about a floating wall in the middle of the channel. I think it must be April the 1st. All these ideas are ludicrous. It almost looks like there's somebody leaking this from inside the civil service to embarrass the Home Secretary.
Yeah, I can picture the wave machine upending, capsizing boats in the channel. And you could take that to whatever level you want. You could have the Wipeout music. Wipeout! You could play that every time you overturn a boat full of migrants. I mean, yeah. There's some good business, though. Some good business. There's some good news about business. Yes. There's actually some good news about business amidst all the doom and gloom. Sex dolls are selling like hot cross buns. According to Jade Stanley, who makes sex dolls for a living. Now, Jade was on This Morning with Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby today. Serious business, this lockdown, you see, prevented people being able to mix with other households, including shag with members of other households. And that has left men very frustrated. And of course, it's left men very horny.
And now I'm having to yank myself off round the clock because I haven't got any proper sex with girls.
You don't have to yank yourself off around the clock because sex dolls are selling like hotcakes and they are very expensive. Holly Willoughby, the co-presenter of This Morning, said to the manufacturer Jade, "The doll is cold and rubbery and soulless and no substitute for human contact." Well, Jade begs to differ.
Well, Holly, you're fortunate to be married and have children. There are a lot of people out there who are not as fortunate and they actually see a doll as a presence. A bit like having a cat or a dog in your home, it is a presence. And actually the
presence. Ask Ed and Lorraine Warren about presents and dolls.
Actually the dolls, they do warm up. We can put
they warm up, you can actually get them to warm up.
Boxes in. That's always quite a big request. So they can actually, there is an AI function.
Where it'll talk to you.
Where they can talk to you in a fashion. It is the fact of, I have customers that buy the dolls to just sit in a chair or to actually lie in a bed. It's just having somebody there.
So some customers don't buy the dolls to have their merry way with the dolls. They buy them to have them sitting in the corner just to chat to. Or lying in the bed with them as a presence.
And that does, unfortunately, take the place of a real person. Social media these days has taken away a lot of interaction and has made people very interactive online, but not so sociable outside.
And that's true.
And now that we can no longer be sociable outside as much, this is a really COVID-safe way.
COVID-safe way.
Of being able to have a physical interaction with someone.
You charge about £1,300 for off-the-shelf.
£1,300 for off-the-shelf rubber doll?
But you can customise up to £8,000. What do you get for £8,000?
What do you get for £8,000? Well, a reach around, at least, you'd think, right? What does Jade say?
So then you truly, you basically make the doll completely bespoke to your liking. So you would choose everything. You choose all the dimensions of the doll, any additional extras that you'd want. You'd have the hair implanted, which looks a lot better. It's a lot more aesthetically pleasing. So you just choose every aspect of that doll. You choose, you design.
And you some people have modelled them on partners that they've lost, you know, like in bereavement.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah, they have. They have. And that, again, has brought a lot of comfort to, you know, to people. If that's what people want to do, you know, who are we to judge or to criticise? It's, you know, it brings them comfort in their time of need.
And so, remind me, sorry, what's the name of the doll that sat next to you there?
So this is Jesse.
This is Jesse. So Jesse is one of your male dolls.
And he looks a bit shocked.
He does. Well, he's on the telly. He's on This Morning. He wasn't expecting that. You've seen an increase in male dolls as well, haven't you?
I have, yeah. A really large increase in male dolls.
Fucking feminists!
Increase in male dolls. There's a massive market out there for male dolls and transsexual dolls as well.
Transsexual dolls!
A really, really big market.
And have you been approached by couples who want to incorporate a safe third person into the relationship?
My God. Have couples been rocking up to the shop saying, we'd like to have a threesome, but we want to have a safe threesome, so we'll have a look through your dolls there?
Yes, regularly, the safe threesome. I'm actually in the
vaudeville.
In the process of setting up like a pop-up shop, I am, where I live, because I often find that couples in particular, they actually want to come and view a doll before they purchase.
Yeah, they want to come and view the doll. And people don't see sex dolls so negatively anymore, Jane.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm helping to change that perception as well about sex dolls, because there is so much more to them. You know, it's just so much more to them. I think they have had a bit of a bad press. You know,
sex dolls are the latest identity group now to be vulnerable, that need to be protected from stigma and from oppression and from prejudice.
A few years ago, or people have a perception of how they are, and I'm hoping that I'm helping to change that, because they offer so much more than just sex. And people do want to come and view them. They don't always want to remain anonymous. A lot of people do. But, you know, so when you're making such a considered purchase, you know, you would often like to come and see what it is that you're buying. You know, touch the doll, feel the doll.
Touch the doll and feel the doll. It is 20 minutes past the hour. Welcome to the Richie Allen Radio Show, if you're just joining us. There was an issue with Spotify yesterday. I do believe yesterday's episode is now on Spotify. If you want to download it from there, better have a glass of water. Bit of a frog in my throat there. And what we're going to do now is I'm going to take a tune and then I'm going to take your calls. But I want you to listen to me carefully. I do not want your life story. Not today. I'm going to take a lot of calls today. And I've said this before and I've not engaged it. I'm going to go as briskly through the calls as I possibly can. So I want you to be on point. Tell me what you want to tell me. We'll have a little bit of a chat and then we'll move on. Now, of course, if you've got a very personal story that's important, we can do that on the regular show. I'm happy to do that anytime. But I want to get through as many calls as I can today. So let me give you the details again. The details are, the Skype name is Chat with Richie, all one word. There is no T in Richie. Chat with Richie. If you need to phone the program because you don't do Skype, the number inside the UK is 0161 818 2018. 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from outside the UK, that is +44 161 818 2018. When I am speaking to somebody, there isn't any point in constantly ringing and ringing and ringing. Wait till I am finished with them, then ring me. I will get you on. That is a promise. We let nobody off today, and we'll always give priority to brand new callers. Nobody will not get on, if you know what I mean. Alrighty. This is Europe's most listened to independent radio show. It broadcasts live from Salford. My name is Richie Allen. How are you doing today? You are the star. You are the show today. So get in touch with me right now. Right, let's go straight to the calls then. That was a Daft Punk, of course, and Get Lucky. I think we've got Ade on the Skype. Ade, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Welcome to the programme. How are you?
I'm good, mate, Richie.
Lovely to meet you, my friend. Thanks for calling in. You're first in. Where are you based today? Where are you calling from?
Sydney.
You're in Sydney, so it's like stupid o'clock there. So it's just as well.
Absolutely.
You're in early. Nice to meet you, my friend. Well, you're kicking it off. What would you like to say?
Well, firstly, the name's not to Ade. I've actually used this particular Skype address because despite numerous attempts of trying to get through to you over the past few weeks and that, it looks like the whatever restrictions they've got here in Australia have done everything possible to stop me. Just in summary, I produced a documentary which featured Vernon Coleman and a few others basically just talking about what's been going on with the dreaded virus and what have you. And I'll try to get in contact with you to let you know. But yeah, I set up a Twitter page in order to contact you also. But
well, here you are. Here you are. So, what's the name of the documentary? I think what we'll do is we'll get you on. I'll do a pre-record with you early next week about the film. I'll do it at a time that suits you because. Obviously, it's crazy o'clock there in Australia. So tell us the name of the film now and where people can see it. And you and I can chat about it then next week. That's a promise. What's the name of the film then? And what's your own name, by the way?
Okay, so my real name is Jimothy.
Jimothy. Okay, legend. Okay, go ahead. And the film?
Okay. And it's called Planned Illusion. Planned Illusion, all one word. It was on YouTube, but after 150,000 views, they took it down. So I've had to put it up on BitChute. And a few other channels have actually picked it up, including Alex Jones. He's picked it up. A few other people, Richie from Boston. But so what I've done though is I've set up my own channel under the same name. So if you look up the Planned Illusion
On BitChute.
All one word.
So tell me this, Jimothy, tell me this. So the film is obviously about what's been going on. It's about the COVID crisis, pandemic. Is that what it's about, essentially?
Essentially, yes. So after watching and listening to people like yourself over a period of 12 years, and looking at things from this vantage point here in Australia, I amassed an enormous amount of information. But trying to convey that to people around me was just like, you know, pulling teeth.
Yeah.
And so after going through a very severe lockdown myself in Melbourne and managing to escape to Sydney, I thought that, well, okay, fair enough. I'll put a little video series together. I wasn't expecting it to get the kind of traction that it did, but it's essentially, I just summarized the information that I had and information that you, people like yourself, have been brought together and put
and
it into
have a
small...
And do you have a background in filmmaking, Jimothy? Is that what you do? Editing, directing? Is that what you do?
That's the funny thing about it, no.
You didn't? This is the first time?
Yes.
Well, that's an incredible thing. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Folks, go to BitChute, watch Planned Illusion. I'll watch it over the weekend. We'll have a chat next week about the film. That's a promise. But while we have you here, and what you can do is, in the chat box here, send me your email address and I'll send you an email after the show. You can pick it up tomorrow. So we'll feature the film. We'll have a chat about it next week. Before I move on, though, tell me about that crazy lockdown in Melbourne. How serious have things gotten there? And how serious did things get for you to want to move out of there?
Well, okay. I realised actually, funny enough, this week that Melbourne signed up to what's called a Strong Cities Programme. And so essentially, we were dealing with basically a foreign invading force, 23 hours lockdown. So this is probably, so Melbourne was dubbed as the third most livable city in the world. It was fantastic. I was actually here as a DJ. And as soon as the Andrews introduced the mandatory face masks, which I refused to go along with, police and soldiers patrolling the streets, shut down of all shops, shut down the freedom of speech, not allowed to put anything on your Facebook or what have you else. Only one person in your household can come out for an hour a day to go to the shops. All businesses shut down.
We saw this, Jimothy.
And what have you.
We saw this on Australian news, and I'm going to be honest. If I hadn't seen the reports, I would not have believed it. Everything you've described is true. The military patrolling, the police, residences like apartment block buildings with police there and armed soldiers there to prevent people from leaving. It was like a science fiction film, but yet we were seeing it on Australian news, so it was obviously happening. And how did people deal with that? Was there any resistance to it?
None. In short. The Victorians are a really lovely group, lovely set of people. Oh, they'll give you their right arm. And that's the issue. You see, my folks are in London continually sending me reports where every single one of them, from the very youngest teenager right up to the elderly who are in their 70s, they'll be at Trafalgar Square protesting for their civil rights and liberties. You see, down there, they literally don't understand that they're in big trouble. And now that I've found that they've signed up, that Melbourne's been signed up to the Strong Cities program, we're looking hell. There's going to be hell unleashed down there. And it goes even further than just the restrictions, because I can tell you, the shocking thing, revelation for me, was that there are certain individuals who are affronting a so-called resistance. No, they're gatekeepers. All right, this is the level. This is the advanced level of deception and manipulation that's happening to those people down in Australia.
So do you mean, let me jump in. Do you mean, Jimothy, do you mean that grassroots, genuine grassroots resistance to it is infiltrated by those who would maybe steer it in a different direction, gatekeepers, or are these groups actually started by gatekeepers? Or is it both?
Yes, you're right, absolutely. So they're started, but I think gatekeepers, if you like, keep the sheep well inside the pen.
Wow.
So it's not uncommon for the day before, 2 days before, for certain individuals to be arrested in full view of everyone, and for these individuals to say to everyone, listen, we've got kids, let's just stay home, let's go to the beach or something. It's absolutely shocking.
That's amazing.
And, you know, I had to speak to someone that I left behind there this week, and I said to them, look, listen, as a result of the videos that I've been doing, you know, a lot of people have been sort of contacting me, look, you need to get out. And they said, oh, you know, no, we're going to sit and fight. I said, you'll do nothing. Because the men down there, they're more women than the women are, basically, right? Get out. And this is to everyone who's listening. You're down in Melbourne. Get the hell out, all right? Because
you think it's going to get worse? You think it's going to get worse? I'll tell you what we'll do, right? We'll leave it there for now. Thanks for reaching out to me. Send me an email address here through this Skype chat. I'll drop you a mail later on, and we'll do a pre-record next week about your film, and we'll put it on Tuesday or Wednesday's programme, and we can talk about these issues further. I'm getting an enormous amount of calls coming in. You've brilliantly described how bad things have been in Victoria and in Melbourne. And, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't have actually believed it. Despite knowing what I know, I would have found it difficult to believe if I hadn't seen the footage of it on Australian news. It's shocking to me. And where did you say you're in now? You're in Sydney now.
So I'm in Sydney now, yes, indeed. It was a miraculous escape, actually,
wow,
to be honest.
And tell me this, Jimothy, just before we part company today, what's it like in southern Sydney compared to Melbourne?
It was like going from, I describe it as like going from East Germany to West Germany.
Is that right? That's incredible.
It's quite depressing, actually, because people are having a solemn dance here, getting dressed up, short skirts and everything, while your brothers and sisters down in Melbourne are literally in captivity. They should be at the borders. They should be doing a London each and every week at the borders. But no, they're having a solemn dance here.
You are properly pissed off, aren't you, with the lack of resistance to it by people like yourself?
Oh, listen, people think I'm a lunatic, but actually, to you, Richie, I sound quite normal.
Yeah, well, of course you do. Absolutely.
to everyone around here, I'm just throwing smoke. What's the fuss all about? It's all good.
Listen, mate, if you've been trying to get through to us, I'm sorry that I haven't picked up your mail. You can imagine the volume of mail that comes through the website. So I'm glad that you took the initiative to get in touch with me this way today. I'll watch the film over the weekend, and you and I will speak Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it suits you, and we'll do it in the early morning UK time to make it easy for you, and we'll have a chat about the film. And great to meet you, Jimothy. Thanks, mate. Thanks for coming on today.
If I can just make a quick request.
You can.
Because I've said they are suppressing me here. You'll have to send me a Skype chat, and then I can reply to that. It's not let me send you a chat message from where I am.
Well, I'll just send a little message here now, through here, after with my personal email address, and we can crack on then. And all the best to you in the meantime. Cheers, mate. Thank you. That was Jimothy there. He's responsible for Planned Illusion, a film. And according to Twitter at the moment, and many of you have seen this film, it was on YouTube, he told us earlier, didn't he? I think he said it was on YouTube. And it had a couple of 100,000 views, which is no bad thing. But it was deleted from there. So he's uploaded it to BitChute. And I've already retweeted one link to it. So do check it out. And we'll do an interview with Jimothy next week. So we will. Mad times. These are mad times, eh? Eh? Let's get to our next call. Don't panic if you're calling in. We're going to get everybody in, right? Get as many people in as we possibly can. Right. Caller, welcome to the programme. We're connected on Skype. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Richie. It's Steve here from Ayr in Scotland.
Steve, you're very welcome to the show, mate. I can see you on video there. You're looking well. How are you?
Yeah. I'm all right. Actually, I spoke to you about a year ago. I don't know if you remember.
If I said I do, I'd be the biggest liar in the world, Steve. But don't take it personally. We've done so many of these phone-ins, mate. But welcome back. And
I'm really glad to be speaking to you again. One of the reasons why I'm ringing is that when I spoke to you, I was talking to you. You said, you know, what do you want to talk about? And I said, look, this is really getting on my nerves. And it was to do with climate change and Greta Thunberg, and it was on the TV and the radio all the time. And I was just saying, look, this is a hoax. This is and where are we now? A year later, and we've got something else. But again, I think it's largely made up. I mean, it's just what's going to happen in, say, 12 months from now? Is it going to be something else?
That's an interesting question. When you say you think it's made up, look, you obviously do listen to the show, so you know that I'm sympathetic to what you're saying. But just for people who are not sympathetic, have you known anybody? I mean, you're in Ayr. What about how it went locally, March, April? Do you know anybody who was sick? Did you hear about people being sick?
I don't know anyone that's ill. No one at all from here. The only thing that did happen in March, sadly, my wife's uncle passed away. He was very elderly. He was 97. But the strange thing is, he collapsed at home, and he had to go into hospital, be admitted, and his wife wasn't allowed to go with him. And then a day or two or overnight, she had a call that he died. But they said that he died of coronavirus, and I don't know how they can come to that conclusion. So it's a bit...
Because he was unwell, the gentleman. He was unwell anyway.
And he was elderly.
And he was elderly.
How can they say straight away that it was that? And he didn't have any symptoms beforehand. He'd collapsed. And yet we're supposed to believe that someone died of this disease.
At 97, if you... get very ill very suddenly, it could be heart failure, it could be renal failure, it could be a stroke, of course. But we saw some documentation, didn't we, Steve? By we, I mean those of us that read and watch the independent media. We've seen some documentation coming from various clinics and hospitals where doctors have been urged to list COVID as the cause of death if it's present, despite what else might have happened.
What I can tell you is that I've had a word with a couple of nurses here. We kind of know a few people locally, and two different nurses, and they're saying the same thing, and that is that there's not really much of these cases at all in the not just this area but other areas as well.
And yet we're told, aren't we, every 10 minutes, we were told again today by the health secretary that restrictions need to be imposed in Liverpool, in Warrington. And just as you're speaking to me, Steve, it's been announced that in the north of Ireland, Strabane and other places, they want to include or increase the restrictions. And they're saying it because there are case rises. The cases are on the rise. But like you, I don't know anybody who's sick. I live very close to a hospital and I know some nurses, and they're telling me that they're not seeing people come to the hospital wards. They're not taking an influx of COVID patients.
Yeah, you see, nothing adds up, does it?
No.
We're being told one thing on TV and radio, and in reality, or if you talk to people, talk to people in the street, they just tell you something completely different.
Where's it going,
I've
Steve?
Asked people like you have. Do you know anyone that's
and they don't
sort of being victim, and just there's no one. I'm sure some. I mean, obviously, people have died, but it's a question of what they've died of.
Do you know, I think back to when I was kind of ill in January, and yeah. I'd want to bring that up again or mention it again, but I think if you were very senior or if you had existing conditions, if you got what I got in January, you would have been in serious trouble, I believe, because what I got was bad, yeah. You know.
I'm not doubting that people are ill, yeah. and people have underlying health conditions as well. Independent statistics and the vast majority of people will recover, you know, if unfortunately they get this thing. It's by no means fatal.
Tell me this, Steve, before I move on, thanks for getting back in touch with the program. Before I move on, why is this happening, do you think? What's the end game?
I think there's something else going on which we're not being made aware of. I've done a lot of research. I've read books about the COVID thing, and I'm pretty sure that it's not what they say it is. And there's something quite bad that's happening. I mean, I've been following Charlie Ward, for example, and there may be some other things. I mean, there's a human trafficking problem all over the world, and I don't know if perhaps it's connected to these lockdowns and especially the local ones, because even the local ones don't really make sense.
Yeah.
You have all these different rules in different areas. It's just very, very strange.
What you're saying there about human trafficking makes a kind of a sense to me. For me, I think it's multifaceted. I think it suits about 15, 20 different agendas. Cashless society, obviously. The surveillance, the passports, the vaccines. And I think you're right, Steve, about the trafficking. Listen, next time you call this program, go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
Climate change and this coronavirus. Yeah. And then if it's not that, it's going to be something else that they come up with. I'm sure
right, mate. Next time you call the program and tell me you're Steve from AIR, I will remember you. That's a promise.
Okay, Richie.
Lovely to chat with you today, Steve.
Keep up the good work. It's fantastic what you're doing.
You're a gentleman. Thanks for saying that. That was Steve in AIR there. He was actually speaking to us from his car. Lovely to hear from Steve. We're off to the phones now. I know there are certain mobile numbers desperate to get through. Don't panic. I'm telling you, we'll get to everybody. Or my name's not the BBG. It's 17 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. Welcome to the Richie Allen Radio Show. It's the Global Phone-In this afternoon, taking your calls from wherever you happen to be. I'd like to hear from some women. That's WIMMIN, some women. Be nice to hear some female voices, please. The numbers are, if you're calling inside the UK, 0161 818 2018, or +44 161 818 2018. The memes are on Twitter and are on Facebook, but doesn't need to cost you any money, because you can you can connect with me on Skype. It's Chat with Richie. All one word, Chat with Richie. Back to the phones. Caller, welcome to the program. Who am I speaking with? Hello?
Hey, Richie, this is Eric in Gloucester.
Eric is in Gloucester. How you doing, Eric? Hi. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I am honored to be speaking with you, my friend. You've been a real spot of brightness and humor and information, keeping me going through all this, shall we say, shite.
You're very kind, Eric. I think we spoke about 2 years ago, didn't we? Or a bit less than 2 years ago. I think I remember you.
I think you might have someone else, Richie. This is
maybe
the first time I've called in.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Lovely to meet you, Eric. Listen, you know the way it goes. You have the floor, my friend, so you say whatever you want to say.
Well, you know, it really amazes me how servile and docile so many Americans have become in this. At the same time, I'm starting to see a lot of people really waking, you know, opening their eyes and seeing the situation that we've been talking about for years. Like, so many people have called me a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And now everything I've been talking about is showing its face. And I find some justification in it. But God, I wish I was wrong.
And there's a temptation, Eric, to say, I told you so. But you can't do that either, right? You've got to be a bit more humble about
it. You end up looking like a total jackass. But the point is, we've got to change the situation. And outlets like the Richie Allen Show and other shows are really the key to it. I really believe in the dissemination of this, call it alternative viewpoint, but I mean, it's got to change. Something's got to be done. You guys are getting hammered in the UK.
Yeah.
Here in Gloucester, everything is, you know, pretty much usual. Yeah, there's a lot of mask wearing, and some people have, you know, said a couple of things to me because I refuse to wear the face diaper.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's normal here. You guys are getting it hard. My heart goes out to everyone in the UK.
You've saved me. You've saved me. What is going on? You've saved me a bit of embarrassment, because I was going to say to you, what the hell is a Yank doing in Gloucester? But of course, you're in Gloucester, on the east coast of the United States, right? That's where you are.
Correct. Correct. I believe you once have found your way to the crow's nest in Gloucester. I heard in your show once.
That's right. Many moons ago, I made a pilgrimage because I'd read the book The Perfect Storm by Sebastian Younger before it was even a film, and I wanted to go to the bar because the Irish football team went there. What an experience that was! So, Eric, are you from fishing stock yourself? Are you from fisherman's origins? Or
I am. I am actually a commercial tuna fisherman. I supplement some of my income catching giant bluefin tuna. This is the first year in 11 years I chose not to be crew on a harpoon boat. Guess I picked a good year because it was, the market has crashed. The prices are awful. And everybody, because no one's at work, everybody's out there trying to catch one. So yeah. it's a shit show, to say the least.
What about your presidential race? That I was listening to Sky News this morning, and John Bon Jovi, amazingly, was speaking to Sky News, and he actually thinks that we might not have a result anytime soon in the election. It's going to be so chaotic with the mail-in voting and with Trump's behavior. Did you watch the debate the other night, Eric? What did you think of it, and do you think you'll get a result in November?
I was with a group of friends at a buddy's house, and we put it on for about, I'd say maybe 12 minutes before the television was turned off and the drinking commenced in earnest. It was the most embarrassing spectacle I have ever witnessed in political theater. Like you said, you've been saying theater. It's complete vaudeville. Man. It's reality TV. Gerald Celente said it yesterday. The Truman Show, I don't know, dose planet Earth with really clean LSD? I don't know what's going on. It's haywire.
It's funny you mentioned dosing the planet with clean LSD. I believe that a geoengineering program, a spraying program, has been going on for many years. Who knows, Eric? Who knows at this stage? I'm open to anything.
It clearly was the brown acid, because this is definitely not a good trip, man.
No.
This is definitely some dirty street hell. But it really belies a larger problem, which is division, and it's intentional, obvious divide and conquer tactics by the powers that shouldn't be. And only things like Richie Allen's show, like Mike Rivero's show, you know, it's making a change. I've talked to so many people that have come towards this alternative from the mainstream thought, and I believe critical mass is growing, and I hope so. Richie, keep doing what you're doing, my brother. I listen every day. I contribute. I hope you keep doing it, my man. It really brightens my day, and I'm going to let you go. It's been an honor to talk to you, and keep up the good work, brother.
Eric, lovely to speak to you today, my friend. Speak again, please, God, in the future. Lovely to meet you. Thank you, Eric. That was Eric in Gloucester. What a great memory Eric has. I was speaking on the program maybe a couple of years ago about my time in America in 2002. But well, it was before that, wasn't it? around about that time, yeah. And my travels on the East Coast, Miami, I did everything, Framingham. I did the whole lot, New York, Boston, New Jersey. I did the whole lot. Took a Greyhound bus from Miami to New York because I'd seen people do it in the films and I wanted to do it and all that madness. Right, it is 11 minutes to 6. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. Back to the phones. We're on the mobile and we're in the UK this time. Caller, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Hi, Richie. It's Chris here. Chris calling from Hampshire.
From Hampshire. How you doing, Chris? Welcome to the show. Yeah. You've got the floor, my friend. What would you like to say?
Well, as everybody says, I'm a patron of yours and great stuff from you. Also, you turned me on to Mark Windows. And thinking of what he says, the strategy you've got to take to combat what's going on. I don't know. One thing I was going to tweet you was that there's some strange, we would have thought of as strange sort of link-ups. You know, now, like this morning, I found myself listening to Julia Hartley Brewer.
Yeah.
And she's like the morning version of you.
She's a very good broadcaster, Julia Hartley. She's a great broadcaster, very good presenter, yeah.
Yeah, she has almost turned into you, but in the morning on a sort of semi-mainstream show. And also, like I say, saying about Mark Windows, listening to his latest discussion, sad to say, also echoing what you say, the demonstrations, they're factored in. They're factored in to this. And unfortunately, David Icke, he shouldn't be at those things. I mean, they can just dismiss the demonstrations because David Icke's there. And now Piers Corbyn has become that as well, almost.
I understand. I mean, I understand why David would want to go. First of all, David, like everybody else, he's pissed off at having to be stuck indoors. You can't go to the pub. You can't go to the restaurant. And a lot of people attending would know David, and we all love David. I mean, I love David. I've been reading David for years, but I kind of agree with you. I think David might consider in the future that if these ex-mainstream or currently mainstream doctors are going to speak, it mightn't be the worst thing if David promoted it heavily, but then if he didn't show up, I don't know. But then others might say, well, Richie, it's his right to turn up and speak, you know?
Yeah. It's sad, really, isn't it? Because, you just mentioned his name and you're trying to broach the subject. A couple of other things while I'm on, just quickly, like UK Column, really good channel. Found them through Jason Goodman with a guy called John Cullen. And they had them on as a joint thing, crunching all the numbers. You're like taking all the CDC numbers and the Public Health England numbers and just, showing the facts, showing that the numbers
laying
just
the
aren't
facts
there,
bare,
that it
yeah.
isn't a pandemic and it isn't an epidemic. And also John Cullen picking out the fact that the flu could well be H1N1. And it could be a massive fraud.
Do you know the thing about the facts? You mentioned the facts there, and there are a number of independent content creators who've been able to take the data and analyze it forensically, as you've mentioned. This is the most frustrating thing, Chris. The entire thing falls apart when you take what we would call a very cursory look at the data. If you just glimpse at it, the whole bloody thing falls apart, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I tell you, the other one, the other thing I came up with the other day, I actually watched, or started to watch, Pandemic, the 2018 BBC experiment, as it's called it, where they gave people, I skipped through it, but it came out with, using people, it was in Hazelmere, and they gave them all like a phone app, and the BBC have the data set, as Mike Pompeo said, for a pandemic, and measuring it up against COVID-19, we've either had the mildest of all pandemics, that you don't, it hasn't even registered, on the scale of deaths, or as is probably the case, if it is, COVID-19 has gone through the country and we've got herd immunity already because of the way it was spread based on the data set they came up with.
Yeah. That's the killer for me.
It goes around the whole country.
Yeah.
It goes to 43 million people in 60 days or something like that. And their figures come up with a, with something like the mortality of H1N1. It's something like 800,000 people dead. So going on what COVID-19 has killed, numbers that, you know, we know, stripping out all the comorbidities and everything, it's something like 1,500 people. And the same in the USA, it's something like 9,000, you know. You know, it's already there. You can. There's the BBC.
Well, no, you mentioned, Chris, you mentioned Julia on talk radio. She gave the Transport Secretary, Grant Shapps, the runaround a week and a half ago over the false positive rate. And again, the frustrating thing about that was Brewer basically demonstrated with Shapps that effectively 9 out of 10 of those deemed to be positive cases are probably not. And Shapps couldn't answer her. For me...
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, for me, the most difficult thing for me to accept is that it doesn't become front page news on every newspaper the following day.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, because they choose to ignore it. And that kills
me. Again, with the BBC, unfortunately, with my, I'm a home care worker. I go around clients. They have that on first thing in the morning. You get that dose of absolute pure propaganda from BBC.
Of course you do.
Like yesterday was the perfect example. In UK Con, stripped it out. It was like they had, you know, something about Tranmere Rovers going out of business.
Yeah.
You know, it was a million deaths worldwide, notched up to COVID-19. So it's like, hooray, we've gone past a million. You know, it's like... It's like the pure propaganda.
It's shocking, isn't it, Chris? Hey, Chris, it was brilliant to catch up with you today, mate. I better take another call.
Great to speak.
Lovely. And you're in Hampshire, mate. I hope all is good for you there. And I hope you're well and you and yours. And stay well, Chris. Thank you. That was Chris there in Hampshire. I want to hear from some women. That's W-Y-M-M-I-N. Let's get some ladies. Very male-centric today. And I know, because the statistics... Lies, and damned statistics. Is that how it goes? I've probably made a mess of that. Statistics, whatever. But our YouTube statistics and my Podomatic statistics show that the overall Richie Allen audience is actually made up 62% female, 38% male. And you just know I love that, don't you? Of course I do. The BBG might not be much to look at, but he's got 62% of the audience is female. Let's see, do we get some ladies on? You do know the numbers by now. It's Chat with Richie on Skype, 0161 818 2018. If you've tried to get on already and haven't managed, don't give up. I'll get you on. We can go to 7 o'clock. Let's get our next caller on. It's a mobile in the UK. Caller, welcome. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Richie.
I can just about hear you. Who have I got? Right, the line is really bad. What I might do is make a note of the number and give you a call back in a minute. It's a really terrible line there. Let's try it again. Caller, who are you and where are you calling from?
It's Mick McGussie from Newcastle.
You're calling me from Newcastle. The line is dreadful. I tell you what we'll do. We'll drop it out. I've memorised the last four digits. Bear with me and I'll give you a call in a moment when I get a minute. There. Sorry about that. These things happen, you know. Back to the mobile. Caller, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Richie. Is that Richie? You there on the line?
It is Richie. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Rude Boy Marcus. We spoke around about 4 years ago.
Marcus. I'm very well, buddy. Nice to be speaking with you again. What would you like to say?
Lovely to get through. I've got to keep it short and simple because I know the line's really busy.
Cheers, Marcus.
Just want to give you a quick chat about the nightclub industry and the entertainment industry and that. It's fucked.
It's really bad, Marcus, is it?
I know so many people. All my friends are DJs. I'm a DJ. I haven't had any work for a year. I can't do weddings. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do nothing. And even if I wanted to put on a daytime venue, I'm only allowed 30 people there, so it's not viable. I went over to Ibiza to try and get some work. That's fell through. It was horrendous, mate.
Yeah, yesterday morning, I think it was yesterday, a nightclub owner, a man who runs a chain of bars and a bar manager and a DJ came on and said exactly the same as you said. It was bad enough, the curfew at 10 o'clock, but now what they're... go ahead, Marcus.
It's, Sorry, it's ridiculous. It's 10 o'clock curfew. I mean, what's stopping people getting pissed at 9? Sorry about the language, but you're good at that anyway.
I'm certainly not going to throw any stones at your glass house, Marcus, about the language.
So, there's been a lot of chat going on. I will tweet it on your website. A couple of great videos have come out of Ibiza in the last couple of days, just about the state of the industry, where we're at and where we're going to go forward. There is a chance that something will happen in the future. So, my heart goes out to all my, you're a DJ myself, you're a radio DJ, but I'm a DJ who makes money from playing in clubs in Ibiza and Amsterdam and stuff like that.
You're a real DJ, yeah. I mean, Marcus, when I was younger, I made my living doing disco bars, basically DJing in disco bars. I certainly didn't have any skill, not like you, but I made my living doing it. And if I was making my living doing that today, I'd be screwed. It's as simple as that. But it's obviously bar people, security.
Sorry, Richie. This is it. I've just been told for the next 6 months, you're not DJing anymore. Everything's been cancelled. And there won't be a venue left anywhere, I don't think. And this is, what kind of agenda is this going on? Music venues, and like you did yesterday, that was quite very funny with Oh Sweet Caroline. I thought that was hilarious because that is exactly what's happening. You know, you can do this here, but you can't do that there. I mean, what the hell?
Tell me this now, because you will obviously know men and women in your own industry, DJs, entertainers. How do you think people are taking it? Are more of them beginning to become a bit suspicious about it? How do they feel about it? Do they believe it, that it's necessary? Or are they beginning to start asking questions?
Well, they're losing their houses, Richie. They're losing their jobs. A friend of mine does an events business. He lost like 60 grand this year, in bookings. You can't sustain that. And I think they were saying on Sky News this morning, there's like 4 million people going to lose their jobs. The hospitality industry is on its knees.
I posed a question the other day. It was a serious question. And somebody said to me, it's easy sitting in your ivory tower. But I swear on everything that's sacred to me, if I owned a business, I would open it. And I would challenge the Stasi to take me away in handcuffs. Why are more businessmen and women not getting together, Marcus, and sticking their fingers up to Hancock, Whitty, Valance?
It's funny you say that, because I was chatting to a friend of mine, Stevie Diamonds, another DJ. I said, listen, okay, if they're going to issue a £10,000 fine, put a free party on and charge everyone a fiver.
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that'll cover the bloody bill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where we're at. So, yeah, I mean, things are shit at the moment. The other thing I was going to say to you, I worked in a casino in Bath over Christmas, and we had a lot of Chinese tourists, and I felt very ill as well, just after Christmas, a bit like you. Couldn't bloody breathe, couldn't walk anywhere or anything like that. So there is something going around, but I think it's just a nasty case of flu.
A bad flu. And
that's what I think it is, kid.
And, again, the cases, they say cases, 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 but all of these people are asymptomatic. There's nothing wrong with them. And they've managed to convince the public that a case is an illness, but it isn't.
Well, they call it a disease.
A disease, yeah.
It's not a bloody disease. It's not liver disease or heart disease. They call it a disease. I'm like, no, it's a fucking virus. I'm using bad language.
No, it's all right. I don't mind that. Look, we've had viruses for years. And sometimes they're very bad. The flu season of 2015 was terrible. Yeah. A lot of people passed away.
Yeah.
And we've always tried to deal with that. And we look after our seniors. This is unprecedented. Wrecked the economy. Put millions of people out of work. But Marcus, you can see the benefit to them, But before long, you'll have houses being wrapped up in massive packages sold through vulture funds or to vulture funds.
It's a massive grab. It's a massive grab by the banks and the big companies. But there is another side to it as well. I do have a look. Obviously, I've got a finance, not DJing at the moment, so I have a cleaning job. No one's going back to offices ever again.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
You've got to think about all these big places, you know, Canary Wharf and stuff like that. They're going to be empty soon. I mean, I don't know what's coming next.
Haven't a clue. No, you gave me a good answer, but you didn't answer me when I said, are people asking questions? You said they're losing their houses. You were right. And you were passionate about that. It's a sickener, that. Is that leading to any movement in terms of people thinking, well, this is not right, something is going on? Or are they too... Did you mean that they're so wrapped up in saving the house that they can't do that?
Until the day people walk around with masks on in the middle of the bloody countryside walking their dogs, no.
They're not.
You know, I drive past people and I'm just like, what the...
Yeah.
I'm like... You know, why have you got a mask on? You're in the middle of the bloody street. No one's around you. I mean, I don't wear a face mask. I just go in with my inhaler and just shake it and just say, yeah, piss off.
The Muppets are cycling around Salford Quays with face masks on. Absolute Muppets.
Well, I heard that the police are at Manchester University stopping people coming out.
This is a very interesting... See, I can't get to the bottom of this. Just to let the listeners know, Marcus is referring to the scandal of more than 1,000 students being told last weekend they had to self-isolate at Manchester University. And everybody seems to be telling a different story now. The students are saying that they were left in no doubt that they were told that they could not leave. But now the authorities are saying, oh no, we didn't tell them that they had to stay put. And the security is saying, we didn't tell them they had to stay put. But the students are adamant that they were given a directive not to leave, that they were basically kept under house arrest.
Well, otherwise they wouldn't put HMP, up on the windows, you know, saying, but we're prisoners. I mean, obviously they were being bloody locked in. I mean, that is just absolute, you know, locking people up.
Students.
Where are we going with this?
Marcus, rude by Marcus, give you a proper title. Thanks for phoning
Thank
in today,
you,
mate.
Richie.
Good to talk to you again. I hope it improves, and I hope you're back behind the deck soon.
Just before I go, I'll tweet you two really, really good videos which have just been made in Ibiza with all the main players, Fat Boy Slim and everything like that are in it.
Brilliant,
and going
mate.
Through the government and COVID and what it's the effects on the nightclub industry and the hospitality industry. I'll tweet it up into your... site, and maybe we'll catch up and have a proper chat about it once you've seen that, all right?
Sounds good to me, Marcus. Thanks for calling today, buddy. Godspeed. Bye
Mate,
for
you
now.
Have a lovely evening, okay? And good luck to the next person on the phone. Thank you very much for your show.
Not Love at it. All. Thanks, Marcus. That was Marcus there. Thanks to him. Tell you what I'm going to do now. There is a call coming in. I'm going to take a quick breather. I'm going to take a tune. It's a short tune. And I'm going to have a glass of water, and then I'll take the next call. If you don't mind... And as I said, if you're ringing and ringing and ringing, don't panic. I will get you on, right? I'm a man of my word. I'll get you on. Sammy Davis Jr., Candyman, the Candyman on the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford. The time is 9 minutes past the hour, right? Taking your calls. Chat with Richie on Skype if you want to Skype. Most people today calling via the dog and bone. Back to the UK, I believe, and a mobile number. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Richie. Alan from Glasgow.
Alan, welcome back. How are you doing?
How are you doing, mate? We spoke at the beginning of all this carry-on.
We did speak at the beginning of all of this carry-on. How do you feel now?
Well, you know, mate, I'm up in Glasgow, so it's a bit... We've got wee Jimmy Cranky giving it all the...
Yeah.
Hitler-esque rules up here, you know what I mean? But where do I start today, my friend? Have you picked up on the military exercise going on around about Scotland in the UK waters, you know, which is very convenient?
There's a Navy exercise going on in one of your beautiful locks, Alan, is that right?
That's right, that's just down in Dumbarton, mate, just head down to Loch Lomond area. But you'll find that as you go down there, the seas are, so far, I've heard so far, are maybe 30 ships on their way around our waters, which to me is, well, sounding what's happening in Australia. I thought caller it was on a couple of minutes ago. And
now these navy vessels, I believe, according to BBC today, they're from 9, maybe 10 different countries.
Aye. I'm only worried about the British ones.
I know that, but what are they doing there? That's the question. Why these
And I don't know if it's true, UN vehicles shipped over to Ireland, is that?
Yeah, I saw I saw those videos. That's right.
Right, so I don't know if that's 100%. I've seen that one. But obviously, if they bring another lockdown here, that my opinion of the lockdown the last time, there wasn't a lockdown, not like anywhere else. We were still, we had movement, freedom, anywhere to go. There wasn't a thing like border patrols or stop and search and things like that. There was none of that. So I reckon lockdown's going to mean lockdown this time, mate.
That's a brilliant, brilliant point, Alan. And you're not
I think they're getting prepared.
Yeah.
Surrounding us by our own military. And here we go, mate. I don't have to see it, but I see in the next few months, this is what the streets are going to be like. The way the Spanish are just a wee bit there, but the Australians are kind of a hammering on it now.
It's funny you mentioned Spain. By the way, just I want our listeners to respond to this. Alan, Alan, as you just heard there, said something to me that a close friend of mine said to me the other day off air, that the so-called lockdown from March was nothing. It was a picnic compared to what's coming. If you agree with Alan, I want to hear you on Twitter. Do call the programme. Alan believes that they're preparing for a proper lockdown, which would be, obviously, as you said, searched on the streets. You can't leave your street. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned Spain. The Madrid authorities have told the Spanish government basically to piss off, that they will not be subjected to it anymore.
Exactly. So are they going to kind of go on their own mail at Barcelona Independent kind of thing, shout for themselves? Who knows, Richie? But the other one as well was this. They renewed all these coronavirus laws again yesterday.
Yeah.
They got a bit bigger with it. So this is, mate, whatever it is, it's coming, mate. It's here. We're no conspiracy theorists anymore. This is fact.
Tell me this. The line has just gone a bit shaky, Alan. I was going to ask you about, again, your peers, your friends, your neighbours. Any movement there? Are they starting to see through it? And if they are starting to see through it, maybe they'll mobilise. How's it going up there?
Well, to be honest, the same as the previous caller, we don't know anybody or anybody knows anybody who's seemed to have caught this, who hasn't been in the frail position or in their ill late, basically. I don't mean to say it like that, but people that would have probably died with the natural causes of flu, it's, apart from that, no, but I've never heard of anybody having it close by. And the people just, they don't believe the bullshit they've been told, to be fair. They're as simple as that, Richie. Nobody believes what they've been told.
You see, again, you're touching on something very important. I believe you are right. I believe that most people now know that it's crap, but yet they still put the mask on going into the shop or getting on the bus, and this cheeses me off. If you know it's bullshit, why do you comply with it?
Right now, they've been paid to sit in their arses. Furlough ends, job losses by the millions, and chaos erupts. That's my vision of it. The army are there to kick us all into shape, so to speak, my friend. But this ain't looking pretty for us all.
You see that lunatic, Tobias Elwood, stand up in Parliament yesterday saying that he wants the military to be mobilised to help deliver the vaccine. And then he said, didn't he? And then he said that he wanted the vaccine to be mandatory for people who plan on travelling. In other words, you wouldn't be allowed to travel overseas if you didn't have the vaccine.
It's Bill Gates' agenda, mate. It's the microchip gets all vaccinated, proof of, oh, there you go, there's all your medical details on it. You can travel, you can go A to B, or you can't because you've not complied. This is the way it's heading. It's already there. It's just been pushed now. It's that has come, it's came, and we are the subjects, my friend. We are all the test pilots for all this.
How, before I take another call, Alan, stay with me just for a minute before I take another call. How do you deal with knowing this stuff? I don't ask people enough times. How do you cope with that?
Going back, right, I'll give you a quick narrative on it. When I first heard all this, going back 10, 15 years, reading likes of David Icke, things like that, I first thought, this is all crazy. People I was trying to speak to, I was like, who do I talk to about this? Who's the ones that's wanting to listen? Who's going to hear me? Who thinks I'm fucking crazy?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But now, I'm seeing a lot of people that I'm talking about, friends and neighbours, that one spoke to me off here. I've got people listening to you that I never thought would listen, for instance. My neighbour across the road's opened his eyes. A real guy in his 60s, he's listening to you now and he's giving me information. That's the way I'm talking about, Richie. People are turning around now. And that's what I like to see. I just wish the ones that's wearing all these masks and looking down at us and all that would open their eyes and ears and really see what's going on. It's just, they're the people we need. The officials and these servants, they need to wake up, these chauffeurs and servants and all that. They're the ones in the right in there. They need to go, right, strike, we're off. Take
yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word, but you get where I'm coming from.
I get where you're coming from.
It's going to take these people to kind of a day that we're doing. They're going to, it's all one of us shouting, screaming and talking and getting the messages out there. But these people have to, they have to stick with. Simple as that. They have to stick with people power. It's only back to reality here. People power. Go back to that basic, stick together.
If we don't comply, if we stick together and do not come, it does not need to come to violence. All it needs
exactly,
is non-compliance.
Mate. That's not what we're calling for. We're calling for peace. We're calling for
absolutely.
Everybody to unite and just give our own choice in life. We don't want jabs, stabbing needles and told what to do. We want to have a choice. We want to know we're family safe. We want to know where we can visit and check in on everybody with foot. The aggro, simple as that. We just want to live with what we tell today. But we also want to know, there's a good thing about your the man and all about the cover-up. This big paedophilia cover-up, mate. This is, there's something about this. It's the agenda in this thing. It's just too near to home, your Prince Phillips and all that. There's that's another big, big story. It's going to take up shows and shows.
No doubt.
But by God, that's one of the main things I believe that this is all.
You know what, COVID...
It's a narrative, isn't it? It's a narrative.
Brilliant.
It all up for them.
Listen, I'm going to take another call, mate. You have a great weekend, Alan. Thanks for
you
getting in touch with us again,
always
mate.
Always good to talk. Thanks.
You too, Alan.
I'll see you soon, my friend. Take you.
God bless. That was Alan in Glasgow. And what Alan was saying there, and we heard this earlier on, from Alan's compatriot in Ayr, up there, of course, in Ayr. I believe that one of the things COVID does is COVID is like one massive fart, a huge fart. Why? Well, to cover up a lot of minor emissions in the room. I read this somewhere in a book many years ago. I think it was a Thomas Harris book. Lots of things going on that you want to cover up. Lots of little farts. You don't want people noticing them. So you let go one big bomb. And COVID is covering a lot of things that are going on. The erection of 5G towers around the country, undoubtedly one of those agendas, in my opinion. These are my opinions now. This is conjecture, not fact. Conjecture. To cover up the trafficking of children, no doubt in my mind. Many agendas being covered up by this. It's 19 minutes past 6 o'clock. It is Thursday, October 1st. We're into the autumn now, into the dark evenings. We're into the fireworks, not good for the dogs. I just want to say I've noticed, Ian. Ian, you've been trying to get through since the word go on Skype. I will come to you next, Ian, after I take this call on the mobile. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Scholar. How are you, Richie? Are you keeping well, man?
I'm really well. Did you say Stella?
Scholar.
Skeller.
Scholar.
Stellar. Oh, very good. Stellar, how are you? Nice to speak to you. Where are you?
I'm in the northeast.
You're in the north where things are getting a bit grim.
Oh, I'm not even allowed to see my friends. I'm gone mad. I'm gone stone mad. I want to be your resident comedian.
you can be our comedian if you want. The job is vacant. Where are you originally from?
Oh, I'm from the west of Ireland.
From the west. I thought you might be from the west, all right.
Yeah, I'm from the west, but I just want to say a big hello to everyone. I know a lot of your followers are from Ireland, and hello to everyone in Ireland, and hello to you, Richie. And you're keeping us all sane because we're living in mad times.
These are mad times. How did you end up in the northeast of the UK?
Oh, sure. Australia via Greece, via Japan, via. Do you know, I was following the footsteps of Sam Cuthbert. You ever hear him?
I didn't know, but I'm all ears.
Have you never heard of Saint Cuthbert?
Cuthbert? No, I never did, no. But I'm sure there's a saint for every name.
Oh, I'm mad for saints. I want to become the patron saint of children. I want to be a revolutionary saint, so I do.
That's your ambition?
And, that's my ambition. I want to rid the world of all this madness.
This lunacy.
And I want to be able to go out and see my friends. and I want to be able to go out and have a cup of tea and a couple of jocks to, you know, that's all people want nowadays. Is that too much to ask?
The simple stuff, eh?
Do you know, I mean, I'll tell you something, right, and I don't mean to be going on, like, but one of the kids said, why can't we just spring clean the world? And another friend of mine said down to me that if they were living, they're living in a normal place, and they said they've got survivor's guilt.
Survival guilt?
That's what they said. They said they've got survivor's guilt over all this jazz.
Stellar, tell me this, did you see this coming?
No, I fell for it hook, line and sinker, to be honest.
Yeah.
To be honest. But come here, Richie, you're doing a great job, my love. I wish you all the best. It's a tough time for people, so it is. And I hope everyone's looking after themselves. And I'd give everybody a good piece of advice. Now is the time to go and plant some daffodils, so that when February comes around, we'll all have some lovely daffodils.
We'll have some daffodils. Imagine that, the simple things, eh? I wonder, will it come to that? Will it come to people growing their own food again? Although in many places around the world, local authorities have made that illegal for people to grow their own food on their own land. These are mad times, aren't they? I don't know what we're going to... What's it going to be like in a year or 2 years unless people stand up to it?
Well, the mental health crisis at home, as you know, the only one sticking up for anyone is Michael McNamara. And in fairness to him, there's another fella here, and I won't go down that party political line because I don't follow any of that jazz. But Michael McNamara at home is the only one speaking sense, and we want to be ruled by Michael. Clap handies for Michael. Yeah. That's all I'll say. Just if he could just take over and the rest of them can shuffle off. So they can, a lot of them.
Exit stage left. So tell me this. So tell me this. How has it affected you work-wise personally there in the Northeast? Are you having to work from home?
Well, I don't want to get into it because it's confidential work.
Fair enough. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I work with people who are vulnerable, and you know, so I want to give a voice to those people and to tell them all that. Comedy needs to come back.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any good comedians come out at all. So I'm going to be the funny comedian.
Well, you are. I wouldn't dare patronise you. I wouldn't. You're obviously funny. So tell me this. Why has the UK's comedians not taken this apart? Where have they gone? We were told about people like Frankie Boyle. We were told Aisling B. Where's Aisling B? Where's Joe Brand? Where's all these people that made us laugh? Why are they not taking this to the cleaners? Good question, eh?
I suppose nobody wants to be an ism or an ist or a anti-establishment or no. Like, does anyone remember laughter?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's going on above? Like, honestly,
yeah.
Is it just me from my little locked up bedroom who has to entertain the world and you and a few more who are like, There's a clampdown on comedy and information and opinion and all these kinds of things, and it's driving people mad. I'd be listening back to this and I'd be going, why are you so aggressive? But do you know, like, come on, like, go, like, what's going on? Like, honestly, I don't know if there is any comedians out there because I don't watch the television anymore.
They're gone, really. Many of them have just bent the knee to this, wearing masks. You see some of them with Twitter accounts, and they've made their profile picture a picture of them wearing a mask. I like to think that in the 70s and 80s, some of the great comedians, some of the great women, some of the great men would have annihilated this, Stellar. They would have annihilated this nonsense. But not today, you know.
Yeah. Well, you see, the other thing too is that we're probably look at what's happened to the economy. The gig economy gone, the arts economy gone. Even if I did, say, for example, I wanted to get into to be a stand-up comedian, where would I even preach? I could only do it online.
Yeah,
and
where would you go now?
People would take it too seriously and then dox me.
That's a good point. A good point. The comedy club, like, just another venue nationally that's gone. Well, it's on the way out because it can't open. It can't put on gigs and performances. It certainly couldn't work around the 10 p.m. curfew. You're absolutely spot on. But you, but you know what's shining out of you is a humour and kind of like almost like an obstinacy not to succumb to it, not to let it get you down.
Yeah, I'm not letting it get me down because I do have a project ongoing that I won't try to plug on your show, but I do have a project I'll make it in touch with you somehow, some other way.
Oh, no, do you?
And it is all about giving young people hope and taking culture back and bringing all that, you know, like time now that people are allowed to laugh because we're living through such sad times. My own family member has this horrible thing. I don't even want to mention the name of it. And I'm stuck in the northeast of England.
And you can't get home.
Like, yeah. And it's not about my personal circumstances. That never comes into it. I'm very lucky. So but everyone else I care about. I care about the health of young people, children, old people, locked up in their homes like prisoners. When did we ever lock up a nation in the history of Inton? Do you know, I spout all day. Listen, Richie, you're a doll. I hope you are very well today. I'm delighted to hear that you've got lots of female subscribers. Myself,
it's nice included. That, isn't it? I'm chuffed to bits with that. I'm a big child. But I tell you what, Stella, listen, get in touch with me, will you, through the website and come back and speak to me.
Yeah, I will.
Brilliant to speak to you. Thanks for calling in.
What I'll do is I'll leave a comment when the show goes up.
Do.
I don't do social media, so I don't know anything.
All right. I'll have to keep an eye on YouTube then. Yeah, when this goes up later on, I look at the YouTube comments, I'll find your comment and we'll connect that way.
And God bless to all your listeners and just tell them, switch off all the fear and go back and watch a bit of Richard Pryor or Tommy Tiernan or whoever.
Get in there. Absolutely right. Stella, you're an angel. Thanks for coming on today. Lovely to meet you.
God bless you.
And God bless you
everyone.
Too.
God bless all the people of the world and the children. Good luck.
Fantastic lady calling from the northeast, but originally from the west of Ireland. That will amuse my mate John, who's from the west of Ireland. It's an accent he will have recognised. It's 28 minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. And it's a remarkable thing, this, isn't it? It's great to be able to do this. We need to do it a bit more often. I always say that, but at the same time, you say we should do it a bit more often, but it's lovely as well at the same time if we do it every 6 or 8 weeks, you know. So I'm going to get Ian on. I'm going to get Ian on because I said I would. I'm a man of my word, and Ian has been waiting patiently, and he tried to get in at the very beginning, so we'll get Ian on. And I tried to reconnect with the gentleman from Newcastle with the bad line, but I couldn't reconnect with him. Ian, sir,
Hello. How
are you?
Hello, Richie. Hello.
Ah, you're a gent. Nice. Thanks for your patience, by the way, mate. Where are you based in the country?
I'm from Birmingham.
Birmingham, in the Midlands, Birmingham. The second city. Yes. You've waited, my friend, so take the stage. What would you like to say? First of all, how are you?
I'm perfectly fine. Well, don't tell anybody, but I have a bit of a runny nose. I'm terrified someone's going to come through.
Oh, Jesus. Somebody's going to dob you in.
Give me a test that I don't approve of.
Listen, did you hear those footsteps approaching your front door? Somebody's dobbed you in. I'm only joking. So what would you like to say then?
Well, first of all, the obvious. Thank you for everything that you're doing. I think it's a remarkable program with the whole spectrum that you have on the show. It's really helpful to everybody that thinks and takes in all points of view and forms their own opinion on what's happening. It's a really informative thing that you do.
Thank you, mate. No need to say that, but thank you very much.
Okay, and secondly, I want to say to Stella, your previous caller, just how much sympathy I have for her being stuck in the northeast of England. That must be awful.
That's a bit unfair now, Ian. We like the Geordies. It's the Scousers we don't. I'm only joking. I love the Scousers as well. Well, of course, the difficult thing for Stella is not being able to go back home to see your relative who's unwell. This is tyranny. Anyway, back to you, mate.
It is. It's absolute tyranny what's happening. It's absolute tyranny because Stella just hit so many chords in the whole conversation you've had with her. She mentioned about the children with survivor's guilt and just how much psychotic, neurotic hypochondria is being instilled into such a formative mind, a young generation of what's being done to the children is, like you say, tyranny. It is awful, awful stuff. I had a conversation just last weekend with my aunt and uncle, and they are both law-abiding, upstanding citizens, which I am as well, but they are middle-aged, and they've worked for their house, their car, everything that they have, and I have a conversation with them, and I don't have a car, I don't have a mortgage, and I had a conversation with them over the phone, and they said, we wear masks when we go to visit your nan and so on. I asked them why do you? And their answer, when over the course of a long conversation, their answer simply boiled down to, we're just following the rules.
Yeah.
And we just have to follow the rules because we don't want to be on the wrong side of the rules. And it really got me thinking, okay, I don't have the car, the house, the mortgage, the career that they do at their age. I'm in my early 30s, they're in their late 50s. They do have the car and the mortgage. It struck me, Richie, I don't know if you've got any thoughts on this. All of this is like a great equalizer for all of those that are beneath the powers that be, the upper classes, as we might think of them. For the rest of us beneath them, whether you've got the house and the mortgage, or you're just renting, or you cycle, whatever it is, it's like this is the great equalizer that gets to all of us at once.
Yeah.
And all of us are going to be prepared for a future on an equal footing of digital currency being removed from the class system that we've got used to, where we get onto the first rung on the ladder. You leave school, you think you'll get your first cheap house, and then when the market's right, you'll sell it and then upgrade when the time's right. It's like, all of that will be in the past. That's not how it's going to work anymore, because that isn't the future with COVID or whatever it is. They'll rebrand it in the future. It struck me that this is a great equalizer, where I have a phone conversation with somebody who is in a different social strata, not too far off from me, but a different strata of where I am. But they're telling me I wear it because I'm afraid of getting on the wrong side of the rules. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, yeah. That hasn't occurred to me, but yeah,
it struck me as a great equaliser.
Yeah.
Readying us for something. And of course, we know what's happening. You have your guests on the programme, and I'm sure that all of the people that follow you on Twitter that I speak with, we all understand what's happening in the bigger picture, the agenda to get people used to a government that is involved in every single aspect of your daily life. And that is something that's really been geared up to gear 5 this year. If a year ago somebody had said that the Secretary of Health would be on television telling you can't bugger the person up the road, or have, you know, or whatever the case will case is, you'd have laughed and said, don't be stupid.
Yeah,
the
Health
Secretary.
Yeah.
Back in 2013, you know, when the Health and Social Care Act came in back in 2013, do you think anybody would have given it a blind bit of notice if they said, by the way, you can't have sex with the person at the end? And of course, it would be ludicrous. But now the government is now just that little inch further into your perception of the role that it plays in your daily life. And I think that's part of the reconditioning of society.
And are you worried? Are you worried, Ian, that there is some level of acceptance in society now to what you said, that there is an acceptance that, well, I suppose if they have to tell us that we can't go next door and have a meal or whatever, that's my fear, you know, that there's a kind of a creeping acceptance. Do you feel that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, the creeping acceptance of the role that the state plays within your daily life, absolutely.
To keep us safe.
To keep us safe. And of course, you know the terrible crimes that have been committed in the past under that purview of für ihre Sicherheit, for your safety.
Yep.
Terrible things have been done in the past under that mantra. But I walk up the road, walk past any random Joe Blogs on the street, and I often feel like I'm walking in a parallel universe to this person that's walking along the street with a mask on, or they're walking along with their under 10-year-old child wearing a mask.
Mental.
And I feel like I'm in a parallel universe to these people.
Rog said to me this afternoon that he saw a tweet, because Rog looks after Twitter and Facebook when I'm not on it. I'm never on Facebook, but I am on Twitter a bit. And he said somebody sent a tweet to the programme, I didn't see it now, saying that she broke into tears when her friend's 5-year-old turned up to collect or to walk to school with her child, and the friend's 5-year-old is wearing a mask, and she just burst into tears. She couldn't believe it.
It's heartbreaking to see. I've got a very close friend who has a young child, and she sent me a photo of this young child wearing the mask.
It doesn't touch children. Jesus wept. Whatever it is, it doesn't touch children.
It didn't even occur to her that it would be controversial to me. And then I responded with, "How can you do that?" And she was like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "It's ridiculous that you've got him wearing a mask." And she said, "Oh, I thought it just looked cute because there was a cat design on it." I think, come on.
It looks cute. So, do you find yourself, Ian, do you find yourself beginning to adapt your own behaviour? And I'll give you an example of that. I was pretty down this week for nothing, really. I'm generally a level-headed, generally good-humoured guy. I got a bit down on myself because I realised I was adapting my behaviour. Like, if I need to go to the supermarket now, to avoid confrontation, Ian, I'm getting there for about 5 minutes to 6 in the morning. Now, I'm an early riser anyway, and I'm not a coward, and I don't acquiesce, and I'll argue with anybody. I won't fight anybody. I'm not a thug. I'm not going to be rolling around the aisles with somebody, but I'll stand up to anybody, and I'll say my piece. But I'm finding myself now, tomorrow morning is a classic example. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. My day off is Friday. I usually try not to do very much. And I'm going to head for one of my local supermarkets just because I know there won't be many people there, and I'm less likely to end up in an ugly confrontation with a dipstick who's wearing a mask. I mean, do you find yourself thinking along those lines?
I will say this to you honestly. I do put the damn thing on my face to go into the shop and do my shopping and then leave. And then
you're not asleep. You're not asleep. Jesus. I mean, you know, you're not asleep. But again, like me, you're just avoiding a row.
Yes, it's like you say, adapting to the reality you find yourself in. And of course, it's what the devil on my shoulders keeps telling me, is this the hill you want to die on? And the answer is no, I'm not going to die on this hill. But if anyone ever comes to me insisting you've got to take that poison into your veins, I'll die on that hill.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll put a, it's not a mask, it's not a surgical mask, it's just a piece of fabric. I just put it over my ears and then carry on and do my shopping and come out and take it off. But I'll die on the hill when it comes to a jab. Absolutely, I'll die on that one. But I do adapt when it comes to just getting onto a bus and then take it off when you find your seat. And somebody could say to me, well, you're being a hypocrite, but I don't think so. I think
you're
adapting to your surroundings. And I've got all the time in the world for anybody that can come into a shop with me and say, okay, we've got to do this for the sake of the next 5 minutes of peace and tranquility. But absolutely,
you're
when it comes to a vaccine,
yeah.
When it comes to a vaccine, the answer is just a flat out no. And that is the hill that I'll die on.
I think you're channeling your inner Sun Tzu, I think. I think so. That's the way to go. You know, I mean, I genuinely do have asthma. So I could be asked, well, tough guy, if you didn't have the asthma and you didn't have an inhaler, would you still turn up to your supermarket in the morning without a mask? And I probably would. But, not because I'm a bigger man than you, I am not. I would just do the Irish thing. I would just lie. if they said, why aren't you? Oh, I'm medically exempt, or I've got COPD. So listen, you're certainly not asleep. You're certainly not a hypocrite. A lot of people will probably empathise with that. Ian, I'll give you the final word because I'm 20 minutes to the top of the hour and there's another few calls to come in. But that was a brilliant point you made there about the equalising aspect of all this. It's really got me thinking that. Final word to you, my mate in Birmingham, and then I'll move on. Go ahead.
Well, that was really what I wanted to just put to you and just give you something to think about, and hopefully some others as well on Twitter. And I just wanted to say again, Richie, thank you for everything that you're doing, and I'll let you carry on.
I'm not doing anything, mate. Just talking, and I'm not modest either. I'm the last person in the world to be modest. It's a platform for smart people to say things that they want to say, and for people to get on. You can't get on talk radio to say what you said. Sadly, you can't get on LBC.
No,
so it's good to do that. Have a great weekend, Ian, and thanks for coming on today, mate. I enjoyed speaking with you.
Cheers, Richie.
And bye for now. That was Ian in Birmingham. Lots of calls coming in. I'm pretty sure we're getting through the queue. It is, as I said, just gone 20 minutes. It's 19 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. Our good friend, because he's been very good in using his celebrity to speak about these things. And that is Peter Ebdon, former world champion snooker player. And I'm not kissing Peter's arse. I've said this about Denise Welch and about Ian Brown and Noel Gallagher and others. Using your celebrity, using your name to draw attention to this farce. Peter said, Peter Ebdon, to me via text, he's listening to this afternoon. He says, Tobias Elwood should be the first to get the new vaccine. Let's hope they don't keep the cap on the injection like they did for the Moody photo opportunity that Sadiq Khan was involved in. That's a good point, Peter. I saw some photographs that looked a bit dubious of London Mayor Sadiq Khan, a photo op where he was getting the injection. It looked like the guy was holding right up against his arm a needle, a syringe basically, with the cap still on. But that was well noticed. And as for the comedians, Peter says no comedians because they've been displaced by the fucking politicians, says Peter Ebdon. And he's got that absolutely right. Let's go back to the phones. It's mobile again. Caller, welcome to the programme. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Richie. This is Lee. I'm Lee from Leeds.
Over the Pennines. How you doing, mate? Sorry for keeping you waiting there, Lee. Welcome to the show, mate. And
No problem.
You know how it goes. What would you like to say?
Well, I sound like a stalker because I've looked at my phone. I've called you 135 times.
You have not. Today?
No, I want to start with the your last little item you did before the call started, which was about the sex dolls.
The sex dolls. So
let's quote a lyric from the great Frank Zappa. God rest his soul. I'd love to get his opinion on what it is now. He's got a song called. He had a song called Miss Pinky, and the lyrics go, "I've got a girl with a little rubber head. I rinse her out every night before I go to bed." That's what I was thinking while she was doing that item.
And the song is called Miss Little Pinky.
That's Miss Pinky.
Miss Pinky.
I believe it was on tour in Belgium or somewhere in those exotic European countries that like sex dolls and things like that.
Lee, tell me this. I'm delighted you phoned in from Leeds. Are you a Leeds fan, by the way?
I don't really care about football.
You don't care? Back in Premier League after years. Good to have him back.
A friend of mine is really happy that they've gone up, and it seems to be going well for them. So I'm really pleased.
Yeah, it's nice. Well.
You know, I mean, it's nice to have some sort of good news in this year of just devastation.
Madness. Let me ask you this, Lee, and you have the floor. You have the floor. Then when you hear human rights barristers go on the radio to talk about where you can sing live songs and where you can't, and how many people you can be singing with. And when you hear people talking about sex dolls as a good idea as we become more lonely because of COVID, do you at any point, because I do, think that there's still a chance I might just wake up that none of this is really happening?
I hope I wake up every morning. You know when you get that little few seconds every morning?
Yeah.
It's just, the world doesn't exist, and then you realise, oh shit, we're in hell. Well, mentioning the singing thing, when that sort of started coming around, I thought the ABBA lyric, you know, without music or without dancing or without music and dancing, what are we?
Yeah,
it's a soul of life, it's a soul of celebration, a soul of life. It's fundamental. Art is fundamental, and you know, freedom of expression, freedom of singing, freedom of dancing, is what makes us what we are. It is a complete tyranny that is destroying it. It was actually the music thing. You had the DJ caller that was talking earlier, and I would like to have continued with that, because I am I play in a band on the weekend with my wife. My wife's a singer in the local band, and we're quite popular. And we used to fill pubs out singing our sort of rock covers and stuff like that.
Wow.
And you know, it's just a bit of fun, a bit of entertainment. It's our sort of weekend job, and obviously it's devastated. The music industry is devastated at a massive level and a low level. And I've said right from the beginning, excuse me, I'm croaking up, I'm getting a bit nervous now.
No, you've nothing to be nervous about, Lee. You're talking to a friend, mate, so you've nothing to be nervous. I'm absolutely gripped. So you and your wife, right. Rock band, popular, I love this. I love live music in pubs, and it's gone.
Yeah, but I said right from the beginning, when back in March, Bojo announced a lockdown, we were supposed to play a gig on that Friday when the pubs were ordered to close at 12 o'clock. And my wife bottled it. And I said, no, we should do it. And she said, no, it's not the responsible thing to do. And I wish I'd have dug my heels in and said, let's do the gig.
Yeah.
I must admit, I was a little bit scared as well myself. But it would have been a corking of a gig. And over that sort of weekend, I was talking. I said, it's going to go digital. All this is going to go digital. It's going to be like a tiered digital gig that you're going to get. So the music fans are going to get offered to say Coldplay, for instance. Go watch Coldplay. I'm not a fan of Coldplay, to be fair, but they're a big band. And so you might get 50 quid. You get two camera views, so you can switch between two camera views. But 80 quid, you might be able to get four camera views. So if you're a drummer, for instance, you like watching the drums, you could watch the drum cam. For 200 quid, you might get all the things. And maybe for an extra 500 quid, you get a Skype chat with the band afterwards, 10 minutes. And for a grand, you might get Chris Martin's underpants cam or something.
Yeah, like,
You know, at least, because of people just being paid all their 80% of their salary throughout this, they've just automatically, easily got into the digital way of things, watching Netflix, watching whatever they like, and all the while not paying any attention to the decimated entertainment industry, which is, you know, we work hard, and we want entertaining when we're not working. And those bastards that should be all swinging by their ankles, along with Tony Blair, you quite often say that, Tony Blair swinging by his ankles and getting regular pissed on or kicked in by the Muslim families that have been, you know.
Yeah, it's wickedly. This is wicked. And what you just described there is very plausible. Alison McDowell, researcher, speaking about this to me last night, imagined a future where we would be in a room, but we would have the suit and the helmet, maybe like the Spielberg film Ready Player One. And yes, we might be able to be there in virtual reality at the Coldplay gig or the Madonna gig. I think you're bang on. I think you're absolutely right to imagine that scenario. How terribly rotten. How rotten that is.
Yeah, and all the while, it's just in regular daily life, you've been forced apart from your friends and colleagues that you see in the street. I mean, sort of midway through the this lockdown bollocks again, I'm queuing in Costco in Leeds, going into that. God, I hated going into Costco at better times, but, you know, I'm going to buy bog roll because it's cheap and you can buy. You know, I don't know. I think we had a barbecue coming up, and I wanted to buy 60 burgers or something like that. To, you know, although I could only have 10 people in the garden or whatever it might have been. I'm snaking up and down the little thing, and funny enough, the guy who also works in the music industry, he's a sound engineer, runs a live music venue. I see him. Hey, Joe, he puts my hand out. He automatically shakes his hand, but I could not help but see him twitching and his fingers. You know, it's like I've just given him the plague. No. You know, so if you approach somebody, and you know, and I'm not particularly a tactile person, but since I've been, you know, since the government have told me I'm allowed to touch anybody or hug anybody, I've hugged everybody that would allow me to hug them. I've been looking a bit of a freaking maniac. Anybody that said, "Hey, let me hug you," just to carry on that normal human interaction that we always enjoyed.
You see the value of it now. What you're saying echoes what the Irish journalist John Waters said to me on the show a few weeks ago. Yeah. And when he said it to me, I didn't notice it before then, but now I do. Now I notice people skipping to the far right or the far left of the footpath just to get as far away from you as they can. And I think, wow. I mean, I go running most days down, if anybody is ever driving in that area, I'm down Regent Road, near Manchester, between Manchester and Salford most mornings. And when people are coming against me, when they're walking towards me, they're just, some of them even, they actually walk onto the road, and it's a dangerous road. And I think, what's wrong with you? But I don't blame them. How do you feel about them? I've managed so far not to become bitter towards those who don't understand. I don't want to call them sheep. But are you finding it hard not to be angry with them? Because if they were more, I suppose, you know, alive to what's happening, maybe we could put a stop to it.
Well, you see that they're they've had the wool pulled over their eyes, haven't they, really? Because I saw society change back in March within the space of a day. In that, I work for myself. I'm a job enjoiner, and that's what I do Monday to Friday, and on a weekend. What the derogatory term is, a weekend warrior musician. But I call myself a semi-pro musician because that's what I do on a weekend. But Monday to Friday, I'm a job enjoyer. I have a van, and I have to take it in for a service to the garage. I drove the van to the garage. It's 5 minutes walk from my house. Drove in, packed it up, walked into the office, here's my keys. Okay, mate. All right, I'll see you in a bit. Tell me when the van's ready. 6 hours later, they rings me up. Van's ready. Okay, sound. I'll be on my way. Could we take payment over the phone? Well, I've got some cash in my pocket. I wanted to pay you cash.
Oh, no.
All that sort of shit. It's like, well...
Straight away.
Well, so I paid... This is back in March. Actually, in the first week of lockdown, which I should have been in Lanzarote, but that were all cancelled, but that's another story.
Yeah.
So I had to walk back up to the garage, walks in, it's got a full glass door. I walks into the door, bashes me on the door, and lock the bloody door, and... You know, might as well put my keys and my receipt on a stick and pass it to me. That was within the space of 6 hours.
So it took 6 hours for the world to change, basically. Yeah.
And I'm independent. I work for myself. Fortunately, I've worked all the way through this, and I've seen people, because I do sort of general property maintenance and stuff like that. I've seen people open the door and say, "Yeah, come on, mate. Yeah, it's fine." And I've seen people virtually stood there with hazmat suits and offering me
hazmat suits.
This is before masks were mandated. I said, "What are you doing?" "Look, I'm not wearing a mask. You know, I'm not going to lick your eyes or something like that." You know what I mean?
Wow.
Which your mate Aidan Hewitt said back in the interview I heard for a while back, and it made me laugh. "I'm not licking your eyeballs." You know, or, you know,
madness.
It's fucking crazy.
Lee, I'm going to take one more call before I go because I'm just out of time. Yeah. What's your wife's name, if you don't mind telling us? What's your wife's first name?
My wife's name is Lou.
Louise, yeah. I hope to God, mate, that a time will come where I'll be able to pop up there and see yourself and Lou on stage playing your music. I really do.
I'll tweet you a link to our little YouTube, our Facebook thing on YouTube.
Do, mate, do. Make sure you do that.
Enjoy the little we did some lockdown videos, which is the novelty wore off, you know, where we're doing
that
thing. I wanted to play. We need to play in front of people. But I really appreciate your time.
No, not at all,
awesome,
Lee.
Awesome show. Thank you very much. I don't want to take up too much of my
No, it was lovely talking to you, mate. It was time well spent.
I'm going to fire some Quidditch over to you because I really appreciate your time.
Cheers, Lee. And all the best to Lou as well. Lee and Lou, who staples on the... live music scene in Leeds, playing gigs pretty much every weekend, as he was telling us there, all, of course, came to an end back in March. And then he described that lunacy of having his car worked on the day that it all began. And within a few hours, all of a sudden, you can't use cash. We're a bit nervous about that. And all of a sudden, we'll pass your keys to your car and your paperwork through a window, presumably. We don't want to touch you and all this nonsense. Crazy stuff, huh? Crazy stuff. I'm going to try and reconnect with my friend in Newcastle. We got disconnected a bit earlier. I'm going to try him now. I hope we can get him on. We were trying to speak to him earlier, or he was trying to speak to us, and his line was very bad. And I said I'd call him back. I tried him once, but it didn't go through. I'm hoping it's the right number. Am I live to Newcastle? Hello? I'm hoping I'm live to Newcastle. Can you hear me? Oh, it's not working. Can you believe that? Sod's law. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Is this my friend in Newcastle?
This is your Australian friend in Newcastle.
Ah, there you are. Thank God I got you on after the line was bad earlier on. Well, look, we've got 3 minutes. What's your name, by the way? I think the line is really bad. Can you hear me? And what's your name?
It's Mick.
Mick, lovely to meet you, my friend. We've got 2 minutes. Say what you'd like to say. The floor is yours.
I'll make it as quick as possible. Just my partner at the start of September pulled out her lad from school, and just since then we've been harassed by the social services, the police. We're concerned with her mental health, concerned that your lad's not being looked after. So every day the social services were trying to knock on our door. We let the social services in once, and the social worker said, oh, nice house, you're all clean, well presented, I've no concern here. And then we get a phone call the next night that, oh, we're concerned with your mental health, we need to do a test on you. So we've refused that, but we took her lad yesterday down to Liverpool. And as we just dropped him off with his nans, we got a phone call from the police saying that he's been filed as a missing person.
No way.
Just this harassment. It's disgusting what this government's doing.
That's, wow. I don't know what to say to that.
We had police, sorry, come last week, and then these two intimidating officers, and they're saying it's illegal to take your kid out of school.
Have you and your partner spoken to a solicitor or anybody?
No, we haven't.
Well, you need to, at the speed of light.
Yeah. Aye.
That's what I would say, Mick. I would speak to a solicitor at the speed of light. At the speed of light.
We will. Because it's disgusting. I mean, I've been the post office next to where I live. The guy refused me entering. I said, I'm exempt, mate. And he said, what's your reason? I said, it's none of your business. And he said, well, actually, it is. You need to get out of my shop. Well, all right, you're not getting my money anymore.
Yeah, once you say that you're exempt, they must drop it. They can't pursue it. The disability.
Yeah, this guy didn't.
And Equalities Act, didn't. Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask you, where's your child now?
He's with his nans in Liverpool. We took him to Liverpool yesterday.
And the last contact you had with the authorities was
Well, funnily enough, but no knocking on the door today. Like I said to my partner, they're trying to get your son. Because he went to a special needs school in Newcastle, and as you probably know, they get lots of money for that. And when this first started, I said, the school's not happy with you taking him out. I think, you know, how much money have they lost?
Yeah.
But just this is level of harassment and gaslighting my partner, saying, oh, you're fine, and then we're concerned with your mental well-being, we need to do an assessment on you.
What I would say here, Mick, is I have to be very, very careful what I say, because I'm not an expert. I've heard from people, many, many men and women over the years on this subject. All I would say to you and your partner is to speak to somebody, to speak to a solicitor. I would do that fairly quickly. The last thing they said to you was, what was the last thing the police said to you and your partner?
The police officer said, this is quite strange for me to be making this phone call, but the social services have reported my partner's son as a missing person. I said, no, he's not a missing person. We're just taking him to his nan. My partner even actually rang the police and was like saying that the social services are harassing her, and all they told her was to just file a complaint to them.
Right. Right. I would take it. I wouldn't panic, Mick, first and foremost. Again, I'm very mindful of the fact that I'm not an expert here. I wouldn't panic, but at the same time, I would be looking into it legally. And speaking to somebody who knows far more about it than you do or I do. That's what I would do.
Definitely.
And maybe you have a conversation with the school. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, the thing that took the cake, the social worker that we invited in the house, she had a mask on, and I said to her, excuse me, are you feeling discomforted wearing that? And she said, yes. And I said, well, according to the government's own website, you're exempt.
You don't need to wear it, yeah.
Yeah, and so she took it off in her house.
And your partner is from the UK?
Yeah, she's from Liverpool.
She's from Liverpool, yeah. Family in there. What do the grandparents think? Your in-laws?
She thinks it's ridiculous what the government are doing, and that Boris Johnson's just fanning about.
It's
like you said on your show, look at the conflict of interest with Valence and all these shares in GSK.
£600,000 worth of shares in the company. Yeah.
That's absolutely
golden,
massive conflict of interest.
Golden handshake and all of that. A golden goodbye. Mm. Mick, I'll tell you what, mate. Jesus, I don't know what to do here now. It's a strange one, this. Because it might not be anything, you know, as serious as maybe you might think. But you also need to kind of keep your eyes open, you know.
I've been reassuring my partner. As I said, they're not getting in the house. Like, constantly we would ignore them and they'd post a letter to her. I said, I wonder what would have happened if we hadn't answered the door. Because what was funny, actually, they came to the door and I said to my partner, do you want to speak to these Muppets? And she said, not really.
Yeah.
Kane spoke and said, there's nothing wrong with me. You've had everyone out every day this week. They've seen my child. Why are you still here? You're harassing us. And then she pushed them off the front doorstep and one of them had a mask on, so I couldn't really see her reaction.
Yeah.
But the guy's reaction was priceless. It was like they're not used to being told no.
I wouldn't want to sound the least bit critical of you now, Mick, so don't take this as critical. It isn't. It's a question. I'm pretty confrontational, so I'd be a hypocrite to criticise anybody who is. But going forward, do you not think it might be worth considering just to be a bit more moderate in what you might say to them if they come around again? Do you know what I'm getting at? I know it's a pain in the arse, and I know it's an affront. Of course it's an affront. It is. And I'd be, again, friends of mine now might listen to this and think, you big hypocrite, Richie. But maybe just play a bit of ball, maybe. You know what I'm saying, Mick?
Yeah, I do. But that's why we invited the social services in to see, look, there's nothing, no issue. It's just this harassment was getting ridiculous. That's why we took him to his nan's till this blows over. But funnily enough, no social services knocking today, so they can't have been that concerned about my partner's well-being.
Yeah, good. Good. And hopefully this will be something of nothing and it will go away. I mean, the child is looked after, the child is loved, you've got a nice home, you've got the in-laws down the road. Yeah, let's hope so. But yeah, look, it's a story we've heard many times over the years on this programme when they come knocking and people get into difficulties and sometimes it can end very badly. But like I said, I wouldn't want to worry you by saying it might end badly.
I'm not worried.
But you're awake anyway. You're wide awake to it, so.
Yeah, we were playing ball as much as we deemed necessary to. It was like, no, this is beyond the joke now. You are harassing her.
Yeah. Well, making the complaint is not a bad thing. You know, at least raising the issue with the local police to say, look, we're law-abiding, nice people with a nice child. We don't expect to be confronted on a daily basis by social workers. The child is fine. So maybe that's a good thing to do, maybe. I think you might have done a good thing there. And follow that up, maybe, Mick. You know, you are well within your rights to follow that up with the police to say, how you doing? It's Mick again. Did you follow up our complaint? And what did you find? What answer did you get from the social services? That might not be a bad thing.
Aye.
Strange.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you very much for your voice.
Not at
all. And connecting us all. We really appreciate what you're doing. More people need to speak up. As this is something I wrote to my daughter a long time ago. I said, you are a beautiful soul. You have a voice. Use it.
Use it. Box clever with these people. Stand firm and don't panic. And as I said, follow up with the police. And all the best to you and your partner, Mick.
And you too, Richie. Thank you very much and God bless.
Not at all, mate. Bye for now. Bye, Mick. That was Mick in Newcastle. He got through earlier on, but the line was terrible. And thankfully, we got through with him again. He sounded a bit concerned there, taking a child out of school. And for their own reasons, as he said, as he outlined. And then being confronted by the local authority in the form of social services, which a lot of people worry about these days. And as I said, there are times when they have every right to be worried. I hope that resolves itself very quickly for Mick and his family, his missus and his son and the in-laws. As I said, I never give advice on stuff like that because I don't. Too many times we've had people on here talking about that subject, talking about dealing with visitation from these groups of people, from the council, from social services, from health visitors and all of that. I always recommend that you speak with a solicitor who would be in the know, somebody who deals in family law. Ask their advice at the outset and then try not to be as confrontational or try to be as moderate in your dealings with these people when they turn up as you can be. It's not always easy. And I feel like a bit of a hypocrite saying that because I think if we were to be blessed with a child and somebody came along banging on doors, asking questions and demanding to see this or that, I'm not sure that I'd be as moderate as I'm maybe urging you to be in that situation. But I hope that resolves itself and it comes to nothing. Thanks for your calls, by the way. Every one of you, I really appreciated it. I enjoyed speaking with you. We'll do another phone-in real soon. And nothing else for me to say, really, other than have a great weekend. Look after yourselves and one another. And I'll speak to you on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for Sunday View. That's Sunday View at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And I'm trying to line up a tune now because I didn't do it. I was wrapped up in the calls. Got a tune to close out. It's Lick the Tins and their version of Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Until Sunday, it's bye from me, the BBG. See you then.